You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Like the legend of the Phoenix.
Attention all high school juniors and seniors looking to play football at the collegiate level. You register for the Cleveland Browns High School Showcase. That's taking place on Sunday, March 9th. More than 50 college coaches have been invited. Space is limited. Visit clevelandbrowns.com to register.
I have gone to that in the past and have met some incredible kids that have gone on and become big-time college football players and have gone to the NFL.
It's a really neat showcase event and very cool. All right, let's talk about a couple of things. I know we got some calls to get to, let's do that. I know we've had some people waiting, and we want to give everybody a chance to weigh in who have called us. I think it's Harold in Cleveland wants to join us now. Hello, Harold.
How's it going today?
Good, my friend. What's up?
Great. My call was about the draft. You know, I heard several people mention the name Sammy Watkins, whom I'm also a fan of. I saw him in the Ohio State game, he was just unstoppable. But one of the big reasons I like him is because not only teaming him with Gordon would be phenomenal, but if Gordon would have another negative drug test and get suspended for a year, then where's the Browns' offense? I mean, they literally have no other playmakers on the offense. So getting a guy like Watkins would be big time for this team. The other thing is I really don't care for any of the top three quarterbacks. I mean, they may be the best three coming out of college this year.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see any of them as a really top 10 pick. And I just think that all of them have some big negatives. And this team just can't afford to miss on quarterback anymore. I mean, if you look at the drafts of the last 15 years, the Browns have failed miserably drafting quarterbacks. The most successful quarterbacks we've had over the last 15 years have been Kelly Holcomb, Derek Anderson, Brian Hoyer, and even Jason Campbell. And none of those guys did we draft. So I would be really reluctant to draft a quarterback that high, especially if it's one of these three guys. I would much rather wait for a guy maybe in the third or fourth round like a Jimmy Garoppolo or even Kenny Guyton, who I absolutely love. I don't know why there's no mention of him.
Garoppolo, the only thing about Garoppolo, really small hands. I mean, really small. When you, if you're going to make a comparison on hand size, and that's that measurement from like thumb tip to fingertip, a guy like Johnny Manziel actually has the larger, I think it's like a 10-inch span or something.
So does this kid fumble?
Well, it's less about fumbling, and the concern I've heard from scouts is gripping the ball with wind and elements and weather. You know, you don't get a firm enough grip on the ball to deliver it through to put the necessary spin on it to deal with conditions.
Yeah, because there aren't quarterbacks that fumble.
Well, yeah. I'm sure that's part of it. And I've actually seen that. Nathan and I were talking about that a little bit yesterday. One of the things that troubled me about Blake Bortles, although he's my earliest favorite. He's the guy
really?
I like best right now. Yes, going into this draft, I like Bortles the best, and I'm going to keep my mind open to the possibility of change as we go through these coming weeks, starting with whatever comes out of Indy information-wise. But what's troubled me in watching him is I've seen the ball get separated a little too often in the pocket when he gets hit. I don't know if it's an awareness thing or a security thing. His hands seem plenty big. It just doesn't seem that he has the mindset or is mindful enough of protecting the ball in the pocket.
And he comes out of a system that is a little bit more pro-based, don't you think? What George O'Leary runs there?
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. And the same could be said about Teddy Bridgewater. I mean, they both come into it as guys who are in systems where it looks like they would be the transition.
It wouldn't be as wide coming in.
You wouldn't think. I mean,
I have to tell you, I didn't see him play a lot. I saw him play on a horrible day.
Mm-hmm.
We were on Bortles the plane
we're
together.
Talking about?
Yeah, Bortles.
Oh, yeah.
I remember we were flying that day, and they
yes.
played in that horrible day down in Dallas.
Yep.
They played SMU, and it was on an. It was literally they could have held.
Like
they could have held the speed skating. You know, in the competition that day, because the field was just a sheet of ice. And he was very good that day. He was very aware of what he had to do that day, and he led them back, and they won the game, and they went on. I saw him in the bowl game. He was exceptional.
Right.
I haven't seen him a lot after that. That's more on me.
All right, so this is what we got. And you can catch up on it. I mean, all that video is available online in one form or another. Or we'll
I didn't have the Central Florida package.
We'll hook you up. You didn't get that in your...
I didn't get that one.
In your game plan, whatever it is. Hey, all right, this is how we ranked 1 to 53 with players. I'm not going to go through all 53 names, but I'm going to focus on the top 10 and then okay. 2 points. But we went with Joe Haden first.
Absolutely.
Josh Gordon was second. And the thinking is, again, Haden a little more... of established player, did it over a 4-year span. I'm not saying he was great all 4 of his years, but he's been right up there all 4, and last year solidified his place.
And there were little things in Gordon's game that at times, I think he's so good that I think sometimes things come very easy to him. Mm-hmm. And really, the look away sometimes to put the ball away and these little kind of bizarre drops that I think are details. There are amazing catches, highlight
right.
catches
right.
That you see on ClevelandBrowns.com or on any highlight film that the Browns show.
Sure.
But there is that moment where, you know, just before, I want to take you back, the Buffalo game, just before Hoyer got hurt.
Right.
There was a pass to Gordon right over the middle that he should have eaten for lunch. Okay?
Yes.
And he dropped the ball. It was a touchdown. I mean, he was gone. I mean,
right.
he was literally gone.
Right.
And yet he came back in that game, and he made big plays and big catches.
But
there are those little moments, and so I agree with you about that. Once he cleans that up, wow. Now, to the caller's point about, hey, if he fouls up again, we got a real problem. I think he's been so exposed to the greatness of the game this year and what is involved and what comes to a player who is great. I think, you know, this is all on him. You know, he has experienced the great part of it.
And,
Pro Bowl.
Yeah.
Oh, really recognized every week as a great player.
Numbers.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Any love of the limited love you could give a 4-12 Browns team this year from people
went to him.
Yeah, right.
So
he's in second, and I think that's a legit spot for him. Others might argue. Joe Thomas we put in third. Alex Mack, fourth. And then we're going to get into some discussion here. Now, voted to his first Pro Bowl. I had some people say, wait a minute, it was his second Pro Bowl. I know it was his second Pro Bowl. He was a
the other
second
guy was
alternate.
Hurt, right?
He was actually a second alternate.
Two guys were hurt.
It took two guys to get him in. But he got, you know, I'm not discrediting the fact that he got to Hawaii.
Two guys got
Miami,
notes from their moms to
get
the,
in.
No,
right.
He can't go.
This time around, he was straight up voted in and deservedly so. Jabal Sheard, fifth. Sheard made that nice transition, Jim, from the 4-3 end to outside linebacker. I thought he played exceptionally well.
I thought he was their best outside linebacker.
Yeah, led the team 5.5 sacks. Desmond Bryan in sixth, and I think he's the overlooked guy on this team. 32 quarterback harassments led the team, but he missed those. His season was cut short with that irregular heartbeat, and I thought things started to just start going sideways for him once that was.
They were a better defensive team when he played. You're right.
He could be flat dominant.
He was dominant in a couple of games. You're right about that, and they were very, very good when he was in there. When he was out of there, you're right, Vic. It was not easy to get accustomed to him not being there, and whoever went in and tried to fill in that spot could not fill that void.
So T.J. Ward comes in at seventh, and the best season of his, obviously, of his four
first
is
healthy
with the Browns.
One.
First healthy one, right. AP All-Pro team pick, Pro Bowl alternate. So your thoughts on both?
I'm very conflicted about T.J. Ward.
Well, let's put them side by side now. Mack and Ward both going into free agency.
I would sign Mack.
Sign him to the long-term deal.
Yeah, I think that there's too much that goes on in that offensive line that he's in control of. I think, number one, he's a very smart guy.
Yeah.
And I think he has become just a really very, very intellectual center. And you can say, well, I mean, you know, he's just the center. But, I mean, let me tell you, there's a lot going on there, and I think he gets it done, and I think the obvious thing is we're probably going to have a young quarterback again. So I think having a guy like Alex Mack really helps a great deal. I think he's tough. I don't think his toughness gets enough credit. I mean, this is a guy that played almost with a ruptured appendix one day.
The Iron
Man.
And,
he missed like no time. He came right back in and played. The fact that you don't hear a lot about him means he's a terrific player. You know? I think he's one of the best centers in the AFC right now.
And you can't overlook. In fact, you can't minimize, or you should maybe maximize this perspective. The guy is going to be the anchor of a new, you know, you're looking at a new offensive system, mm-hmm. or, you know, this outside zone
right.
blocking thing that they're going to be doing. The center is an integral part of that. The center's got to make that work.
Yeah, and I think he's capable of doing that. I really do. I think Alex Mack can do a lot of things. He can get downfield. I think the other thing I like about him, he's got a little mean streak in him, and I think there's not enough of that sometimes, and I like that about him. There isn't. I would sign him.
Yeah,
I'm definitively saying I wouldn't tag him. I would sign him
because I think that's the intention.
Yeah, too. I think you take him then, and you've got him.
All right. So what do you do with T.J. Ward?
Well, I'm conflicted about Ward, and here's why. When he was drafted, Mike Mayock on the NFL Network, who really does a great job in the build-up to the draft, had a fourth-round tag on him.
Right.
Okay. So the Browns got him in the high second round.
Yep.
Okay. Because Eric Berry was gone, and you know, so. Now, the reason Tommy Hecker, you know, thought that it was a steal up there was because he thought he was a great player. The reason they had a fourth-round tag on him was because he was hurt a lot in college. So he missed a significant amount of time. And let's face it, he missed some pretty good chunks of time in his first couple of years here with the Browns. He did not finish his first 2 years because he was hurt at the end of each one of those seasons. I just think that I worry that if you tag him, you're going to really pay him a ton of money. And I don't know that he plays up to that level. And I'm not worried about, you know, is the money going to ruin him or anything like that. Again, like Gordon, I say, hey, that's all on him. He's a pro. I thought he was a really good pro last year. His durability, though, worries me at the size he's at. The way you want him to play safety, I don't know if his body type can hold up to that.
See, what worries me is if you don't, first of all, I think you can tag him at a reasonable number. You could put that franchise tag. What's reasonable? Well, for a safety,
that's probably that was the gesture I get.
In the number,
yeah, that's reasonable.
What's reasonable? I know. You gave me the look. So easy for me to say it's Jimmy Haslam's money, but right. I want to say $6 to $7 million, probably like a $7 million tag, something like that. You're looking at any Pro Bowler. That $6 million number is like the magic minimum for guys. And, okay. and in each roster, if you do the cap math, you can keep like about 8 of those guys mm-hmm. at that range of 6 and above. So if Joe Hayden, for instance, gets done at a long-term deal, which I think is also something that this organization is going to look
to do. Very, very
important to do. Important in working fervently, I think, to get done. You know, you're looking at a guy who's going to fall above or end up above the $10 million threshold. If you look at $16 million per year for Darrell Revis, you know Richard Sherman's going to move into that category of maybe, what, 13 or more million. And then where does Joe Hayden end up? And he's probably going to end up probably somewhere between 10 and 13. That would be my guess. So I think if you do that with Joe, you do a long-term deal with Alex Mack, then I think you're left with T.J. Ward as someone that you could probably put this tag on if, as you point out, you're nervous about the idea of going with a long-term
durability.
Deal. And durability.
Well, I mean, and here's the other thing, Browns fans.
But he played so well.
He did play well, Nick. And I tell you,
him out of there, and I know this this wasn't a banner year for a 4-12 anything on this team, but I just shudder to think where you are if you take him out of strong safety.
I know, but he's been out of there in his first couple of years. I mean, yeah. He's been out of there. All right. Here's the other thing. They have to be, when he and Gibson play alongside each other, they have to be two of the smallest safeties as a tandem in the NFL.
Yeah.
I mean, that's small. I mean, Gibson's a small guy.
Compared to what we saw
Gibson,
in the Super Bowl,
I mean,
too.
Gibson plays with a lot. Right. I mean, those guys were like giants.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that you have to do that just to go get a big guy.
I hear you.
But the thing is, I just think from that position now, you have to control the game more. And I'm wondering if TJ does that. Now, when they started to really, in the last 7 or 8 games, Vic, wouldn't you say, he almost played like a linebacker, a hybrid yeah. linebacker position. I thought that's when he really played very, very well, and he was doing what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
I thought he controlled the game a little bit more back there at that point in time. I just worry about his durability. When he tries to play big, the physical aspect is that he's not big.
That it gets maybe becomes a problem
right.
for him. And when you try to play big is when you get hurt. 216-578-0850. 216-578-0850. We'll get 2 more of your calls. We want your tweets at Browns_daily. Enjoying this. Well, it's been a fast hour. Got much more coming up for you. It is CBD. I am Vic. He is Jim. And you're listening to ESPN 850 WKNR.